Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. As you heard at the top of the hour, the Judiciary Committee is taking their turn at bat with Jerry Nadler taking the lead. There are some university professors, scholars on hand today to try and, I guess, theorize or make the case that President Trump has done something impeachment worthy. We'll talk with Missouri Representative Sam Graves about that and other things that aren't getting done in D.C. because it's all impeachment all the time. We'll do that on the back half of today's show. I'm joined in studio by Steve Bull, pressing all the buttons in the right order and with all the latest news from the WTAD newsroom. Say good morning to Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quade. Good morning, everybody. One person is dead and another is in custody after a fatal shooting this morning on Quincy's northwest side. Quincy police haven't identified the victim or who they have in custody. They do say they were called to a home in the 700 block of Cedar just before 4 a.m. on a report of a shooting. When officers got there, they say they found the victim who had been shot once. That person was pronounced dead at the scene. Police say they have a person of interest in custody, and they add that the two knew each other. Police say that they do expect to release more information as it becomes available. A Quincy-based organization that provides help to children in the court system plans to hold meetings in three counties where it will soon start offering its services, and that will start today. Advocacy Network for Children says it plans to hold informational meetings in Brown, Cass, and Schuyler counties. Press release says that at the meetings, anyone interested in becoming a CASA or a court-appointed special advocate volunteer should attend. CASA volunteers are trained community volunteers appointed by a judge to speak for abused or neglected children in the court system. Advocacy also says any business who's interested in learning more about the program is welcome to send a representative. That first meeting is planned for today at 12:15 at Brews of Mount Sterling on West Main. Second meeting will be held next Wednesday, December 11th at 10:30 a.m. at Rogers Bakery on North Liberty Street in Rushville. Advocacy Network says that on December 18th, informational meetings will be held at the CASA office serving the new three-county programs. Those meetings will be at 12:30 and 5:15 at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church of Beardstown. That's located on West 4th Street. Starting today, natural gas users in northeast Missouri are paying a little bit less for the fuel. Residential customers of Liberty Utilities have been paying about 37 cents per 100 cubic feet of gas. The Missouri Public Service Commission says that rate has now dropped a half penny. The price cut reflects changes in the wholesale cost of natural gas and a change in the company's actual cost adjustment or ACA factor. The ACA keeps track of any over or under collection of actual natural gas cost over a 12-month period. The net balances are then either refunded or collected in the next year. Liberty serves customers in Clark, Knox, Lewis, Marion, Pike, Rawls, and Scotland counties. A Rushville hospital says it wants to sell a senior living facility it owns. Culbertson Memorial Hospital said Tuesday in a statement that its board of directors recently approved the sale of Culbertson Gardens and is now accepting bids. Culbertson Gardens has been operated as an independent senior living facility since 1998. It's not licensed by the state as an assisted living program. In a statement, the hospital says the 23-unit complex offers a, quote, variety of apartment choices, end quote, for seniors. Anyone who's interested in a request for purchase of Culbertson Gardens should contact hospital CEO John Kessler. Bid packets need to be submitted by the close of business on Friday, January 17th. They'll be opened at a public meeting the following Monday, January 20th. Hannibal's Library is among nine in the state of Missouri that have received grant money to train workers. Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft announced Tuesday that the Hannibal Free Public Library has received a Workforce Development Collection Improvement Grant. The library is getting a $1,500 grant, which it will use to strengthen print, audio, and digital collections for workforce development and small business support. In all, nearly $16,000 is being awarded through the grants. Those go to libraries with revenues below $2 million that serve populations over 15,000 people. A Quincy man who's pleaded guilty to a child porn count has been given has been sentenced to probation and some jail time. Nicholas Bliven was in Adams County Circuit Court Monday, where records show he was sentenced to 5 years probation and 60 days in the Adams County Jail. Another 120 days in jail was stayed. Bliven pleaded guilty in October to one count of producing child porn. In return, a second count of possessing child porn was dropped by prosecutors as part of a settlement. Bliven turned himself in early August at the Adams County Courthouse. He was first picked up in late July on the two counts. That's after charges were recommended by the Adams County State's Attorney's Office. The QPD says they started investigating last November after learning someone was sharing child porn through social media. A Quincy man has admitted that he tried to rob a closed Quincy business in November 2017 will be sentenced January 9th on that charge and a separate drug count. Corey Cobb was recently in Adams County Circuit Court, where records show that sentencing date was set. He pleaded guilty to one count of meth possession in September. In return, two counts of meth delivery under 15 grams were dropped. Cobb's already pleaded guilty to one count of burglary. A co-defendant in the burglary case, Dustin Willis, was sentenced to 4 years probation and jail time in a settlement with prosecutors. They say that Quincy police found the pair inside the old Ron's Tire store on Gardner Expressway early on the morning of November 24, 2017. Officers were responding to a call of a burglary in progress. Cobb is free on bond. And the Pike County, Illinois Sheriff's Department says it's gotten several calls earlier this week about citizens that have been called and asked for their Social Security number and credit card information. In a press release, Sheriff David Greenwood says to never give out personal information over the phone. Greenwood says if you do get a letter in the mail asking you to call a number and during that call you're asked to provide personal information, don't give it. The only time you should ever provide personal information to anyone over the phone is when you start an unsolicited call. As with any fraud complaint, Greenwood says if you're a victim, he asks that you please report it to your local law enforcement agency. That is a look at the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and on our social media pages, including both Twitter and Facebook. And Steve, it's a little bit unfortunate that you weren't here yesterday because you could have played the birthday game.
What did I miss? Oh, Ozzy's birthday, wasn't it?
I didn't see that. The little more obscure one was Jefferson Starship or Airplane or Jefferson or Starship, whatever band name they go by nowadays.
Mickey
Thomas, yeah. Who was, in fact, 70.
Oh, he's right on the button, 70. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I never think of Mickey Thomas as being 70. But
Ozzy was only like 71, Ozzy Osbourne.
You believe that?
No, I don't. I think he's like 79 or 80.
Yeah. We've had this conversation before.
You do a whole lot of living and it catches up to you.
There's the wear and tear of a life you lead on your body. And then there's the actual years you've been, around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had this conversation before. Just because a birthday is celebrated, I would say, yes, the day is correct. But as far as the year goes, we know that people in high-profile places tend to fudge on that number as far as the year that they were born. So when you say, there's no way Ozzy can only be 1 year older than Mickey Thomas, and you go, all right, you know, if you decide to press the issue further, I'm sure you could probably do some extra homework and come up with that. I'm not going to disagree with you, but I just know that there are celebrities who fudge on how old they are.
Hopefully, Quaid, you've sparked somebody's idea to go travel to Ozzy's hometown in England and look through hospital records.
If you're that bored, then yeah, go
open
nuts.
Records, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We don't have none of that, Mike.
10:15, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, Representative Sam Graves joins us on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Steve, are you laughing at the bumper?
Well, it's in stereo, so they're only hearing half.
Okay.
I personally have no idea how old King Wenceslaus is, so...
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, with the holiday bumper rotation in play. We welcome Missouri 6th District Representative Sam Graves back to the show. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Thank you for squeezing us in. I know it's a busy day on Capitol Hill. Jerry Nadler and the Judiciary Committee has invited some university professors to show up and, I guess, theorize about what they believe President Trump has done, hasn't done, that involves impeachment. Meanwhile, it's been over a year now, I guess, since USMCA got signed by President Trump. Speaker Pelosi has kind of teased that this should get done and voted on, but what are we waiting for?
Well, impeachment. You know, that's the only thing that we are doing in the House right now. And we haven't seen a prescription drug bill. There's no infrastructure bill. There's no appropriations. There's no trade bill because we're going through this process, just like you said, listening to theories and opinions, quite honestly. They're really just opinions from these professors that are testifying, which is actually just right across the hall from my office. So it's a little bit of a crazy, crazy hectic hallway out there.
Isn't one of the professors, though, brought in by the GOP?
Yeah, and I haven't heard from that individual yet. It'll be interesting to hear. All I've heard so far when I was sitting in there was the testimony or the theories again from the other professors.
Our guest this morning, Missouri 6th District Representative Sam Graves. So what happens first, a vote on articles of impeachment or a vote on USMCA?
I imagine that nothing is going to happen until they do articles of impeachment. Again, that's all that's been playing out. You've got seven committees in the House that have been working on investigations on this, and this has brought everything to a screeching halt.
I would say which one of those articles of impeachment or USMCA has more bipartisan support, and therefore which one's more likely to get through and pass?
USMCA has complete bipartisan support. It would pass the House fairly easily if we get it to the floor. To be voted on. It is something that is very important to anyone that exports, particularly agriculture. You know, our two largest trading partners being Canada and Mexico, buying a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans, a lot of wheat, and we need to get that done. And as you mentioned earlier, it's been over a year since we've seen the agreement.
Haven't there been, though, negotiations that have been ongoing between both parties over certain aspects of the agreement?
Well, the negotiations were pretty much concluded months ago, and you know when we came to an agreement. And this is the way all trade agreements are set up, too. An administration has the opportunity to negotiate those trade agreements, and then Congress has the ability to vote them up or vote them down. Speaker Pelosi announced that she wanted to make some changes to that, which if you allowed the bodies in the different countries to be able to come in and make changes and then go back to the table each and every time, it would never get done. That's the reason it was set up the way it was set up, and that is just to have Congress be able to vote those trade agreements up or down. But the negotiations have been over for some time.
Is this ultimately about, you know, when President Trump was running for office back in 2016, he always talked about we would get better deals, we would make new deals with these other countries as far as trade goes. Is this about just stopping him from actually achieving something that would be good and follow through on a campaign promise?
That's exactly what it is. And this is something that he's got his name all over. He talked about this in the campaign. He promised it in the campaign that we would have better trade deals. And so that's one of the reasons why you're seeing pushback from certain members of Congress that don't want to see it happen. The same reason why infrastructure isn't happening is because the president talked about it. He wanted it. And that would be another win for him. So they want to see him get any wins. And unfortunately, that's at the expense of.
Yeah, let's bring it back to infrastructure. Thank you for the segue there to the northern part of the Show Me State. Missouri, as it seems, is always in a perpetual state of trying to address how to fix roads and bridges. Last year, Missourians voted down a gas tax increase, but there's been talk about reintroducing that at the state level. What can be helped on the federal level when it comes to infrastructure in the Show Me State?
We're actually seeing some things happening right now coming from the administration. I've been working with Secretary Chao on several proposals. One that's specifically for northern Missouri is we're going to see 41 new bridges or bridges replaced in the 6th congressional district alone that's going to happen. Those are all going to be federal dollars that are coming in. Then when we were able to get the money, the $81 million for the Roachport Bridge down on I-70, that freed up money for other areas throughout the entire state of Missouri. And that was an infra grant that went into to fixing that bridge. So that's going to free up a lot of dollars then to help roads and bridges throughout the state of Missouri. So the federal government, we're seeing action happening coming from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and I know MoDOT is very happy about that influx of dollars too. So these are important things. Obviously, you know, this time of year, when we're seeing the freeze and thaw cycle, we've got a lot of trucks, grain trucks on the road. There's a lot of damage being done, so it's going to be, you know, it's welcome news to be able to see dollars coming in.
One of the things that you've been pretty active about on social media is the state of levees in the northwest section of the state, especially after the Missouri River. Is there any type of discussion about changing the way that we fight flooding in general? Because we're basically using an 18th century technology to fight flooding where you scoop sand into a bag. Has there been any planning, not just for the Missouri, but also for the Mississippi River, to where we get more spillways? We divert water in any certain way. Has that topic come up at all?
Yes, the topic has come up. We're hearing discussion, but have yet to see any action being taken by the Corps of Engineers. And this has been a frustration of mine for a long time. And it doesn't matter if it's the Mississippi River or the Missouri River. The Corps of Engineers, their priorities have changed over the years, and we're seeing more money diverted towards habitat reclamation for various species of birds and fish than we are seeing for levee maintenance or flood control, locks and dams, you name it. It's been a frustration. So you're seeing that continue to build and the frustration continue to build as the taxpayers are putting up money, you know, for the millions and millions of dollars worth of damage to the levee system as a result of floods and as a result of the Corps of Engineers' actions in terms of managing the rivers. And so slowly, it's so hard to turn a ship, you know, once it's already sailed, but slowly we're seeing that that ship being turned, but we've still got a long ways to go before we see action.
Well, in terms of flood control, aren't the locks and dams pretty much obsolete now?
Locks and dams are, it's not so much obsolete as outdated. We have to spend money to update those locks and dams and you know, increase the capacity and do so, there's just so much maintenance work that needs to be done, and dollars continue to be diverted away from that into, you know, into habitat projects rather than into, you know, managing those locks and dams.
You're in a unique position with two of the largest rivers in the United States in your particular district and having problems with flooding earlier this spring. And I know that there's a concern on your part that things aren't going to be able to be put back in place or ready for next spring's potential flooding. Is there any type of urgency on the part of the getting the levees ship shape, as it were, for next year?
There is urgency. The problem is just the vast number of breaches that we have. We have 53 levee breaches between Omaha and Kansas City, and 90% of those are in my district along the Missouri River. In fact, we have people that were displaced from their homes back in March when we saw the first flood incident take place. So this is back in March, and they still have not been able to get back into their homes. We also have people that have been in and out of their homes three times since that initial March event that took place. So they've moved back in, they've had to move back out, they moved back in, they've had to move back out. They've done that three times as a result because we've got those open holes in the levees, and every time the water rises or they decide to release more water on the reservoirs upstream, then the water obviously comes rushing back in. So it makes it very hard to fix levees when you've got water standing in the way. We are underway fixing some of those levee breaches, but we've still got a long ways to go, and I'm afraid that we're going to be doing this all through next year as well.
All right. Representative Sam Graves, Missouri, U.S. 6th District. We appreciate you joining us on the show today. Keep up the good fight, sir.
Thank you, General.
All right. That is the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be here, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.